Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 90. Wow, can't believe we're hitting 90 minutes of season 4 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off this week is Dana Nachman, award-winning director, producer, and she can do everything on the set, whatever you need. Welcome back to the show, Dana.
Thank you
for once again finding time to join us, you know, for in your very busy schedule. So I'm very happy about that. Minute 90 begins with Harry working his way over to Sally and ends with Harry trying to explain why he's there. So yesterday we ended things with Harry finally showing up at the Tyler's party. And, you know, he walks into the ballroom, walks up the steps, and Sally spots him. Someone ignores him. He spots her and starts making his way over to Sally. And that's where we're picking things up today. You know, we get to see Harry walking towards her. And she puts on a very defensive expression on her face when she sees him coming up. It's if she's like, I think she's saying to herself, all right, what is he going to try to say here to, you know, to redeem himself at this point? That's my interpretation of it. What do you think her expression is saying?
Yeah, I think she is like guarding herself. You know, like she's like, I'm not going to fall for this again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like maybe she's expecting some sort of apology or an explanation from him or something like that.
Yes, she's not having it.
Right. Exactly. And he makes his way through the crowd and he walks over to her and he says, I've been doing a lot of thinking. And the thing is, I love you. What? I love you. How do you expect me to respond to this? How about you love me too? Now, that's pretty facetious that he's expecting her to be able to say something like that at this point. You know, that's being very straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had this realization, you know, while he's walking, that they love each other, and he's like explaining it to her. Is he mansplaining? Maybe
it could be. That's the thing. Like, I think he is. You know, he came to the realization that he really loves her, but he's not taking into consideration that he basically burnt his bridges a few months ago.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. So, like, for him to automatically say that her response should be, you know, that I love you too. So I don't know.
I like her comment. How do you expect me to respond to this? I said such a good.
No, first she says no. Her first response is even better. It goes, how about I'm leaving?
Yep.
And then he says, doesn't what I say mean anything to you? And then she begins a monologue. And she says, I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. And I love how while she's talking, you can start hearing the countdown behind them.
Yeah.
So we know that it's basically taken him 2 minutes to get there. You know, and Sally wasn't leaving 2 minutes before midnight. She was actually leaving seconds before midnight.
Right.
You know, and she says, I know you're feeling lonely, but you just can't show up here. Tell me you love me and expect to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way. And then he says, well, how does it work? I don't know, but not this way. How about this way? And he goes, I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose. And he like uses his hand to explain the crinkle that she has above her nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts, which she's doing right now also, obviously. I love that after I spend the day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely. And it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here. And then he actually gets cut off. You know, well, people have to come back, you know, the beginning of next week to actually hear what the rest of what he's going to say here. But, you know, I think that, do you think he's convincing enough with what he's saying?
I do. Because it's not just, you know, he's using from the well of knowledge he has from all these years. So I do.
Right. Because she doesn't look like she's convinced at this point. You know, maybe by Monday she'll be convinced.
Yeah.
You know, but as of now, she doesn't seem that convinced.
Right.
You know, she seems, I like the fact that she thinks that he's there just because he's feeling lonely, but it's more than him feeling lonely that he's alone.
Right.
It's that he's feeling lonely because he's not with her. That's the difference. It's not as if,
Right.
he could just go out with somebody else
Yeah.
and then he's not lonely anymore. He's
That's
missing
cute.
this great friendship that he had with Sally. And I mean, obviously that's what most people are seeking for with a real relationship. You're basically looking for your best friend. You're looking for somebody that you can
Right.
enjoy spending all this time with. You don't want it to be someone that you're only going to spend a little bit of time with, and then you're going to hang out with other people or whatever it is. I guess the goal is that it's the person that you want to spend the most time with.
Right.
And it's nice that he's able to actually, describe why. He's had this run throughout New York. He did this marathon in New York and was able to try and figure out, okay, with Sally, these are the things that I love about her, and this is why, I know her so well that I want to keep spending time with her. That type of thing. Exaggerates a little bit about the sandwich, how it takes her an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I like the exaggeration about that, because we can actually understand that also. I mean, and the movie has shown us, was it three or four times when she's ordering things that she's doing that. The to me the best one is the silent one, where we see the two of them through the window. It's during one of the montages when they're hanging out and they're in a Chinese restaurant, and you see her talking and talking and talking to the waiter, and the waiter looks at Harry for help, and Harry just shrugs his shoulders, saying, "It's your problem, not mine." This is the way that she does it. This is how she orders and stuff like that. So I find it really funny that he says, that I love how you get cold when it's 71 degrees. That's like a perfect, it really shows how well he knows her when it comes to that. Okay, so I actually checked. I wanted to see what are the average temperatures in New York for the entire year. Okay, like each month, what is the average for the temperature? Okay, so which month do you think is the coldest in New York?
January or February.
Okay, so it's January. January is generally 40 degree 40 it's a 40 degree high and a 29 degree low. And which do you think is the hottest month of this of in New York?
Maybe August?
Nope, July. And July actually goes up to 84 degrees. It's between 84 and 71. All right. Now, what I found really funny is there's actually a month here that it is 71 degrees is the high for the average. Okay, and that's May. It would have been funnier. It would have been funnier if this scene was taking place in May, with that, but nope, not really. Doesn't work. Yeah, and I love the fact that he talks about her crinkling her nose.
Yeah, they must have added that when she came on.
You'll find out when we go through the script. But do you know that like in body language, the crinkling of a nose is actually it apparently says something. It's to show surprise, uncertainty, or disgust at something. So in other words, she's just disgusted by Harry all the time. That's more or less that's where it goes. I think it's more that she's surprised. She doesn't know where he's going with these type of things.
He is pretty funny.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, they had trouble. There were a lot of scenes that they had trouble filming because he was cracking people up.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, which makes sense. And a lot of his jokes actually made it into the final. A lot of his ad lib jokes made it into the final cut because it just worked so well. The whole Papikosh thing where he was doing it in that voice, that was him.
Yeah, I believe that.
There's a certain point where you can actually see Meg Ryan look off screen to Rob Reiner asking what to do, and he's telling her, keep going, play, go with it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. I like the way that they did that. But what's funny is also I mean, back to the temperature. So 71 degrees is actually, it's not cold for her, for him to say that you get cold when at 71 degrees.
Yeah.
You'd think that maybe he would say you get cold when you're in the 50s or whatever, but 71 is relatively, it's warmish.
Well, that's what he means, that she's cold and nobody else is cold then.
At 71,
Right?
though, that's wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's worth discussing. I thought that's how I took it.
Okay,
Because
but it's not as
she's
if we see her walking around with like sweaters and jackets and stuff like that. So
Right. Yeah.
again, I agree. It's a great piece of dialogue. There's no question about that because it
Descriptor. It's
shows.
a specific
That's right.
descriptor.
I was just about to say it's he's being very specific, which goes to show how well he knows her.
Right.
And
Right,
I
right,
think
right.
that is the point here. That's what they're trying to show, that Harry
Right.
knows Sally really well. Now, it would have been
Yeah.
great if at some point, and I mean, there's a little bit of a spoiler, but it would have been great if she were to actually at some point give a list of things that she loves about him.
Right.
So we could hear, the same. Like she wouldn't say to him, I love the fact that you read the last page of a book before when you start it, in order just in case you die before it ends. Things like
Right.
that. Typical like
Right.
Harryisms throughout the that of when he was talking about 12 years ago. So I think that really really works well. It would have been nice to see the other side and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Although she would have been weird, I think, because he had time to prepare this speech and she's caught off guard, right? So it'd be hard to come up with that stuff on the fly, I think.
That's true also. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But again, he was running, so he was probably I think what was going through his mind wasn't, why do I love Sally? I think it was, I hope I get there before midnight. I think that was more what was on his mind. I don't think he was saying, okay, I'm gonna see Sally. What am I gonna say to her? And what are the things that I love about her? Let me just quickly make a list as I'm running and trying to catch a cab, and the cabs aren't stopping, and things like that. I don't know. Again, the script is pretty much the same. The dialogue stays the same also. But there are a few discrepancies along the way. So it says, after when Sally goes, how about I'm leaving? So it says Sally turns and walks off, parting the crowd. Harry follows her like a terrier. Doesn't what I said mean anything to you? During the following, we hear the countdown to the new year, after which everyone breaks into Happy New Year. Confetti flies, everyone is kissing and breaking into auld lang syne. Sally, what is it supposed to mean? I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve, and I know you're feeling lonely, but you can't just show up here and tell me you love me and expect that to make it all right. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Great, Harry, you love me. That settles everything. Now we can waltz off into the sunset together. It doesn't work this way. And then he says, well, how does it work? I don't know, but not this way. And then he starts his conversation by saying, how about this way? I love how you get cold when it's 62 degrees out. I love the way your mouth turns down just a little bit right there. I love how it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I even loved when you used my sweater for a Kleenex. I love it that after spending the day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. I love how you're the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. It took me 11 years to figure this out. So I think the way that Harry that Billy Crystal delivers it is much better than what's in the script. It flows much better. We don't have the Kleenex. We don't need, he doesn't need to say, I like how you use my sweater for a Kleenex. It's like, it was funny that she did it, but it doesn't, I think he brings up better things. And I think you're right. I think it's funnier that he says 71 degrees instead of 62 degrees, because it's even more implausible, and it shows more of how well he knows her and knows who he's talking to. So yeah, no, I like the way that they did that.
I do
Yeah.
too.
Okay, great. So every Friday we have a segment called Weekend Romance, where my guests will give their top five romantic comedies. So Dana, what have you got for us there? Let's see what you think are the best romantic comedies. Now, obviously, number one is going to be your upcoming rom-com. So so we're gonna we'll keep that at zero. That's above the one, because none of us have seen it yet. So
Okay. All right, number five is broadcast news.
Ooh, great choice there.
Number four is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Number three is Serendipity.
I know you love that one.
Number two is You've Got Mail. And number five is When Harry Met Sally. I mean, sorry, number one.
Great. That is a great list. And so this script that you're working on, without giving away too many details, which
Yes.
one of those is it the closest to? Or
Oh,
is it not close to any of them because it's unique and it's very Dana Nachman-esque?
I mean, it's not that close to. I'd say When Harry Met Sally is the closest because it spans time. It's about a couple who reunite after they were each other's first boyfriend girlfriend about 25 years earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At a Cuban restaurant that is closed.
All right. We'll have to put that
After meeting on J-Date. There
Yeah,
you go.
exactly.
For
No,
anyone who didn't get that,
only
listen, that means for anyone who didn't get that joke, that means you weren't listening yesterday.
Okay, right. Yes. Only the guy is Jewish in my. It's actually the working title is Alt Ending.
Okay. Great. We will keep our we will wait for that to come out.
Yeah, you're the first to ever hear about it.
Well, now everyone's heard about it.
I know.
Everyone who listens to this show. You
Yes.
know, again, it's not, you know, the same number of people that you know that one would expect, but it's a start.
Yes, it
It's a small intimate group who can now know about Alt Ending.
is.
You know, there you go.
Nice, yes.
Yes. Great. All right. So Dana, is there anything else you want to say about the movie in general? About something about When Harry Met Sally, something about rom-coms? I don't know.
Rom-coms are my favorite genre. So this is particularly fun for me. And then I would
More than documentaries?
God, that's a tough one. You're putting me on the spot. I don't know. I love the idea of like something you watch for just escapism. And I mean, I do love documentaries. I love making
Isn't
documentaries.
that what all movies are for?
Yeah, I mean, document not I don't know. I mean, like, did I watch Tar because I was trying to, escape? I don't know. Like, sometimes I don't know. So, no,
I
I'm
watched Tar because I wanted to watch all the Oscar movies, you
Yeah,
know. So
exactly. Me too.
that's why I watched Tar.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've seen all of them. This year I got my all, except for the there are a few there are I think four shorts that I wasn't able to find copies of, but other than that I saw all of them.
Oh my God,
So.
that's good. You're ahead of me. I'm in the middle of a lot of them right now.
Well, as of recording, you have a few more days.
I do have a few
So,
more days, and I think on Saturday they're playing all the shorts at the movie theater, so I think I'm gonna go to all of them. It's like a 3 hour
oh.
block, yeah. If I can make it. But other than that, I just one thing I was really impressed with the last time I watched When Harry Met Sally for this was I love how they and you might know something about this because you've read the script, but they enter scenes halfway through the through
Yes.
a lot. And I love that. I think it's so awesome, and it really keeps.
We discussed that. We did discuss that many times. The fact that you know we're picking up a conversation in the middle.
I
It's
love
not as
that.
if it's just starting right there. And I mean, I mentioned this numerous times. This was before Seinfeld. This was before The West Wing. And the type of conversations that they have here are very reminiscent. There are a lot of Seinfeld-esque you know aspects of this movie.
Right.
Or
Yeah,
vice versa, you know, that Seinfeld uses some of the ideas from this movie. You know, some of the conversations sound like something that Seinfeld, you know, possibly, you know, could have done himself. And the way that the conversations sometimes just flow feels very, very Sorkin-esque.
And so I think that says a lot for like casting, like how they casted these two, and there's so much they were able to really play off each other. And so,
Yeah.
do you know from the script, like, were they scripted like that, or they actually just took like shot more and then just took it in the middle? Do you know? Was
No,
one of the
well, part of the idea was is that Billy Crystal was very involved in the script, so you know it things were changed when you know the Rob Reiner knew he wanted to cast Billy Crystal in this role,
Right.
This was his best friend. And he was, I mean, because I've mentioned this numerous times, Billy Crystal is not the first person that you would think of to, have as a romantic lead in a romantic comedy.
No.
When you're casting somebody, I don't think he's the first person that you would say, oh, let's get Billy Crystal to do it. Especially in 1989, because everything that he was known for beforehand was pure comedy. Not even, there's, I think he's only in one other rom-com, Forget Paris. The only other rom-com that he plays one of the romantic leads. And so it's the fact that he wasn't typecast in that kind of role says something also. I mean, I love Billy Crystal. Don't get me wrong. And I think he's amazing in this movie because of the fact that he's basically cast against type here.
I think
This
so.
isn't what you would expect, especially since Meg Ryan is in most of her movies. She plays this kind of role.
No, agreed.
So to answer your question, I think that Billy Crystal had a lot to do with many of the scenes when they were being scripted or when they were making changes along the way and stuff like that. So they basically tailored the role to Billy Crystal.
No, I think that's good, and I think that it was just so interesting. I often wondered, did they shoot more around the edges of these scenes and then just edit it down so that it looked like you were coming in the middle? I thought that was really cool.
No, because in the script, in most of the places, it is picking up from the middle of the conversation. I think one of the scenes where they do that the best is the double date. When they have the camera roam around the table and you just pick up bits and pieces of their conversation, but they're continuing their conversation.
How scripted was the Pictionary scene?
In the commentary, they mentioned that it was pretty much ad-libbed, but in the script that I have, most of the lines that they say are in there. So the big question then is okay,
Were they writing after?
did they rewrite it afterwards
Probably.
to change things when they were rehearsing that scene,
Yeah,
and
probably.
stuff like that. But the funny thing is, it's not Pictionary. It's win, lose, or draw.
Oh, okay.
I made the mistake also. I thought it was Pictionary.
Okay.
And then we actually, and then like in the next minute, we see the box. And I was like, oh,
Oh,
okay, I guess it
okay.
is win, lose, or draw. Because in the script it says win, lose, or draw.
Okay. That's
But
funny.
I didn't even know that they had a home version of win, lose, or draw at that
Yeah,
point.
me neither.
But apparently they did.
Yeah. That's funny.
All right, great. So Dana, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure, my website is dananockman.com. And my Instagram is dana.nockman, I think. I should check that every time, and I don't.
Yeah, you keep saying I think. It's not something apparently you use very often.
I know. Well, I don't like I don't know, but I don't think it's hard to find me on it. I don't think there's very many Dana Nockmans. and I on my website you can email me from there.
Right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. And you can find me very simply by doing a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Twitter and you can find me on Facebook. So Dana, thank you very much for finding the time to join us yesterday and today. I had a lot of fun talking to you about this. I always love getting your insight into things behind the scenes that I've never been on a set, so
Oh, you'll have to come to one. It's fun.
if you fly me in, I'll come, sure. Or come to Israel and shoot a scene or two, and I'll be there. I will make the time to be there. Just let me know.
All
Just
right.
tell me when and where.
Okay.
All
Sounds good. All
right, great. So I will be back on Monday with another guest, but until then, I'll have what she's having.
have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you, had to be you.